Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. I am your host, Kimberly Skeen, and we are starting another conversation tonight. On the last show, we discussed chasing your calling, and we gave you some answers on how to identify what your calling is and how to separate the vocation from your calling, or if your calling is your vocation. We ask you to give us some other topics that you would like to hear about, and you indeed voiced your opinion. And tonight, you want to hear about how do I listen for my call. You wanted JR, myself, and Shelly to get together and give you some answers on what it sounds like or what am I listening for when I'm listening to for God's voice. Before we get started tonight, we're going to again go over a few housekeeping items. Number one, you can find us on Twitter if you'd like to follow the conversation on Twitter. We are at We Speak Radio. If you'd like to follow us on Facebook, we are at We Speak Radio Network. So join the conversation in either one of those social media outlets. You also have the opportunity here on Blog Talk to add something to the chat room there if you like. We have Shelly today. They're monitoring us and checking our social media groups, and we'll send off to Shelly sometime in the conversation to find out what you have to say or what you want to add to the conversation tonight. Again, my name is Kimberly Skeen. Welcome to Listening for Your Call. I am the host for tonight, and joining me tonight is JR. And JR, if you would take a few minutes to introduce yourself and let the people know who you are.
Sure. Thank you, Kim. My name is JR Dunlap. I just recently completed studying ethics over at Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. And that's where me and Kim first started knowing each other over the last year, working together on the campus in a particular organization called OFSA. I'm married. My wife's name is Kathy. We have three children, Crystal, Jasmine, and Natalia. And I'm a minister at Auburn Heights Baptist Church in Phoenix City, Alabama. Dr. Wayne Scarborough is our pastor, and also we have an associate pastor by the name of Rodney Mitchell. So thank you once again, Kim. I look forward to the conversation today.
Thank you very much, J.R. Shelley Caldwell, we have her on the line, who again is monitoring all of our social media networks. Shelly, would you join us and introduce yourself and let us know who you are? Thank you, Shelly. You will hear more of us tonight, all three of us tonight. So what we do want to remind you that if during this conversation we see that all of the lines are filling up fairly quickly, so if you would like to pose a question or even add a comment to our conversation, press 1 and Shelly will give you the microphone so that you can pose your question for all of us to hear. We would like this to flow as a conversation, so please add where you feel like you want to add or wherever the Spirit leads you. So we're going to start. Again, our topic tonight is how to listen for your calling. So I guess our first question as it relates to listening for our calling is, JR, could you tell me what you would describe the characteristics of listening to be? So what are your what's your definition of listening? How would you put some flesh on listening, if you could? And then expound a little further on what makes one a good listener.
Sure thing, Kim. I really believe listening is just like obedience, and maybe that's a topic for another show. But what I mean by that is it's really all or nothing. God gives us free will to be obedient, and when we're not, bottom line is we're being disobedient. So it's the same thing with listening. Either we're listening to God or we're not listening to God. Let's say we halfway listen. If we halfway listen, we can expect to get half the answer or even half the instruction. And when that happens, it's really highly probable that we'll either end up half the way to the finish line or all the way in a mess. As I thought about the characteristics, that you pointed out, Kim. What it did, it made me to ponder about the difference between hearing and listening. You know, hearing is a natural thing. It's nothing more than the sound that you and I perceive with our ears. If our natural hearing is impaired by something or somebody has some hearing situations that deteriorated over a period of time, then that's all we got. It's just hearing. But when we listen, I think that goes a little bit more deeper, and more particularly when we listen to God. My understanding is that listening becomes something of the conscious versus something that's unconscious. Or let's say it like this, it's something that we choose to do. I also thought about listening and how it pertains to learning. And when we listen, we can learn not only about what's being communicated to us, but we also learn some things about ourselves. So for me, Kim, it takes that concentration, that commitment, that level of patience to really tune into whatever the speaker is saying, whether it's a man or woman of God or whether it's God speaking directly to ourselves.
That's an excellent answer, JR. Thank you for sharing that. I thought about this topic myself when it was posed to us, and I pulled from some of my reading from class, ministerial classes that I had taken. One of the books that I read describes three characteristics of an effective listener can be desire, commitment, and patience. And you definitely kind of tip the iceberg on patience there and commitment and desire. So you have to, I suppose what it's saying is you have to want to hear, have a desire to hear, and then have a commitment to hear. And I actually enjoyed those three characteristics because another reason or confirmation to this topic tonight, the first show, I met a guy in an elevator, and he talked to me about his calling, and we went our separate ways. After the very first show, I prayed to God and asked him, what should be the next show then, God? That very Monday morning, another guy got on the elevator, and he began to, we exchanged our normal pleasantries. And I asked him how he was doing, and he asked me how I was doing. I exchanged fine and fine. And he asked me, are we really listening? Do people really listen to what you say when you respond? And I can just imagine how many times I just walk by and say, hey, how are you doing? And I keep on walking. So for me, that was an answer to a prayer for me when that gentleman asked me out of the blue, are we listening? So that's my story of one of my stories of when I had a desire to hear, I was committed to hear, and I was patient for God to give me an answer because I also told God I wouldn't rush it. I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to try to manipulate it this time. So I think that you hit the nail on the head when you described those areas of what characterizes a good listener. Another question I would pose to you, JR, would be, how do we hear the voice of God? So what are your thoughts on how, or can you share a story on how you heard the voice of God and then talk about how to hear the voice of God?
Well, I think we hear God through a variety of different ways. We hear him through messengers of God that he's placed in our lives, for example, the teacher or our pastors or preachers or prophets, evangelists. We also hear him through his written word. And this can happen from us either reading it for ourselves or being communicated to us by a messenger of God. Sometimes we can hear him through others, like our spouses or the gentleman in the elevator or our parents or family members, even somebody on the street. I know we also hear him through a rhema word, you know, directly speaking directly to our heart and knowing that it comes directly from God. So, Kim, it's important that we don't place the voice of God, and this is just my own personal belief, that we just don't place the voice of God in a box because God speaks in so many different ways. And I'm really cautious when people say certain things like God speaks. When God speaks, he's going to say like this, or when God speaks, he's going to communicate like this. Our God is too big for us to put them in a box. What we really want to do is just let ourselves be open to whatever way God wants to communicate to us, whether it's that man in the elevator, whether it's your minister, whether it's your husband or your wife.
Absolutely, JR. I really like that point about being open. And I think we should come back to that a little later. I'm going to go into another question, but if you could just think about what it means to open ourselves up to hearing God's voice. And I'm going to table that for right now, but something else you said kind of triggered a thought for me. What is it that I'm listening for? What can you describe to me what I'm listening for? I know you have some biblical examples where I think it was Samuel where he did speak an audible voice, but for Paul, it was a completely different experience. And you have all types of experience across the matriarchs and patriarchs of our biblical history. But tell me, what in this day and time should I be listening for?
Good question, Kim. When I think about what we should be listening for, I really believe that is the question really starts off with the individual. Some individuals are listening for answered prayers. I believe some of us sometimes are looking and looking for God to speak to us for directions on important matters of life, like should I marry this person or should I take this job or in my case, should I quit my job and go to seminary? Should I follow the call that you've actually placed on me? And we're listening for him to communicate in a way that once he speaks to us, there's no doubt, there's no hesitation. We know without a shadow of a doubt that it is God speaking to us. And I think when we know without a shadow of a doubt that it's God speaking to us, we're able to move forward a whole lot more easier. And I think there's also some honor to be talked about as well. Even if we feel that it's God, but we don't know and we can't get ourselves to say 100% that, yes, I know this is God for 100%, I think if we'll make that step of faith, that God would honor that, Kim. I really do.
Excellent. And that's a very great point, that even if you're unsure, if you can just try it out and test it out, and I completely agree with that, JR, that he would honor that. So that was a very good example, and I really appreciate you sharing that, your thoughts about that question. Let's go back to that question or that thought you had about us being open. There have been times where people have said, Kimberly, you need to be open. Kimberly, you need to be open. And, you know, I'm doing all these different types of things to try to become what I think is open. Well, does that mean I have to go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every choir rehearsal, every usher board meeting, all these things to try to hear from God? Or do I have to fast? Do I need to pray more? Do I need to read and study his word more? But what is it, or even is there a formula for me to become open? So can you kind of delve into what it means to be open to hear God's word a little bit more for me?
Sure. Thank you, Kim. I really believe that there is no one perfect science to hearing from God. And just like we discussed a little bit earlier, God speaks to us in different ways. He speaks to us in different ways. He speaks to us at different times in our life. And this is one of the things that I've come to know in my personal life is we have to slow ourselves down long enough for God to actually speak to us. One of the things that I saw, and I kind of envisioned this earlier when I was thinking about what we're going to talk about this evening, I said it would be amazing if God was just sitting up in heaven and he had a word for us. And he just held on to that word because he just saw us going from to and fro, busy with work, busy with school, busy with seminary, always taking the kids to soccer practice, and never really spending any time with him. Will he just withhold speaking what he needs to speak to us until we slow ourselves down so that he knows that we will actually catch that word?
Watch out, JR. Oh, my goodness. I really like that because I think you hit a very valid point about us slowing down because I enjoy technology. I appreciate all of the great inventions of technology and the Internet and Facebook and Twitter and all those things, but they do cause us to be bogged down quite a bit, and we seem to be in such a rush that we don't take time out to just spend some time with God and actually, or I can say for me, when I first accepted Christ, the amount of time that I spent with him is totally different than the amount of time that I still spend with him now. And yeah. I have to make more of a conscious effort now. In the beginning, it's just, there was nothing else. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted to do. And I don't know if I've become comfortable in the relationship or maybe we could talk about that. What is it that would cause you to change from the beginning of the relationship to the middle of the relationship? Is it that we get comfortable with God, do you think? That's what causes us to kind of sway in how much time we spend with him? Do you remember how it was when you first came to him? Can you tell me what you think about that?
I really believe it depends on the individual and what they've come into this relationship with Christ with. A lot of times there's individuals that are going through real serious problems in their marriage or with their children, and they get down to their wit's end. And they run across a Christian or they come to church, and you know how it is, Kim. At the end of the service, you know, we say, hey, come in and be a part of this kingdom. Come and be a part of this body of Christ. And individuals think, hey, as long as I come and be a part of this body of Christ, then my problems are going to be solved. And that's not necessarily the case. I believe that they can be solved through faith, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be solved overnight. I know for me, when I came to Christ back in the early 90s, I really didn't truly have a relationship with Christ, especially not to the point that I have it right now. And nobody really taught me anything. I was going to church Sunday after Sunday. I was being busy with church Sunday after Sunday. But nobody was really teaching me about this true relationship with Christ. And for me, it wasn't until, early 2000s when I really started understanding, really started being able to hear what God was saying to me. I started listening to his voice when he said there were things that I needed to put down and individuals I needed to get away from. So I really think, Kim, depending on the individual and what they're coming into the body of Christ with and what is their motivation or why they're coming to be a Christian or why they feel they need to be a Christian, I really think that plays a part in how they're going to actually hear from God.
Got you. I understand. And okay, so with those things said, I have another thought that came to mind. Is there a way for me to exercise the discipline of listening? I'm coming to Christ, and now I'm saying, I would love to hear you better. I want to hear you better. Are there any tools that you can give me or suggestions that you can give me to help me exercise the discipline of listening?
One thing I can think about, and I'm no expert on it, Kim, is meditation. Not being an expert, what I do know about meditation is that there's value in just sitting before the Lord in quietness and allowing him to just pour into us whatever he wants to give us. The question that I ask in response to that question is, do we really want to make the time to be disciplined enough? Are we coming to Christ with a whole bunch of baggage, like we know a lot of our brothers and sisters are, or maybe some of us? You know I came to Christ with a bunch of baggage. And if we're not taught, okay, how to break it down, how to pump the brakes a little bit, how to slow it down, it's hard to get into that discipline. But the most practical thing I can think about is take it small. take it small. Your listening to God, your prayer life does not have to be a whole hour like somebody else has. We know people today, Kim, that work 12 and 13-hour days. Well, they can't study the Word of God. They can't sit in meditation. They can't get into a routine and just stop everything that's been going on. It's not feasible. It doesn't seem like that's something that's practical. So I think with relationship with other Christians, that's how we can develop a discipline of listening. Having somebody to be able to be there to say, okay, what's going on in your life, Sister Brother Dunlap? Okay, I got this. I'm working. I'm going to school. Okay, well, how much time are you spending? Not how much time are you spending in the Word of God, you know, but I'm talking about something a little more concrete than that. You know, how much time do you really have? You know, just like budgeting. Somebody's going through financial problems, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see, okay, how much do you have coming in, excuse me, and how much do you have going out? If we see that that person is in the red, then there's some things that we're not going to, some principles that we're not going to be able to apply in that situation. So the first thing we got to do is try to get that person out of the red first. We got to meet people where they are. And I think starting off small, we know what we can do and what we can't do. And I think God will honor if we're doing what we can do with our whole heart, with a whole heart commitment. I think, Kim, that God would actually honor that as well.
That's the exact thought that I had while you were talking. That's the note that I made, that God will honor your sacrifice. So what I hear you saying is that whatever I have to give, give that, and then God will honor that. So it's not fair for me, in my relationship with Christ, for me to look at Sister Joe over here that does have the time to spend an hour with God compared to Brother so-and-so, who's also fasting 20 and 30 days. It's not fair for me to compare the amount of time that they're spending with God to the time that I have. So that's what I really thought about, that God honors the sacrifice. And a lot of times we hear that as it relates to money and finances, but until you said that, I just didn't even think about it like that. God will honor the amount of time that you have. And that's been a thought that's been on my mind recently, that God already has planned for what's going on in your life. He already knows that you have this amount of time to spend with him, or you have this struggle that you're dealing with. He already knows this, so it's not a surprise to him what you're going through. It's already calculated in the plan. So maybe I should just not be so hard on myself as it relates to listening to God and hearing his word. So maybe I need to back down a little bit. That's what I'm hearing you say. So that's really, really good for me, and I'm really enjoying this conversation. So what we'll do next is that we will go to Shelly and see what she has. And she's going to tell us what's going on at Twitter and Facebook. So, JR, you can take a bit of a breather, because I know you've been going at it hard and strong for almost the last half hour. We'll go to Shelly and see what's going on Twitter and Facebook and in the chat room. And when we return, the next question that I would like to ask JR is, does your environment impact your listening abilities? If so, how and why? So my question after the break is, does your environment impact your listening abilities? And now we'll go over to Shelly and see what's going on in all of the social media networks. Shelly, what do you have?
Thanks so much, Kim. And again, let me say that I'm excited about the topic of this show. This is your second show, so congratulations to you. And the topic is very interesting. And thanks so much, JR, for adding to the dialogue and co-hosting as well with Kim tonight. We are out here in social media wanting to add the voices to the dialogue. So we want to say, if you are on the line listening, and now is the time for your questions. So if you'd like to ask a question or make a very brief comment, please press 1 on your dial pad now. If you would, please press 1 on your dial pad now. And again, if you would like to make any comments in the chat room, you'll need to register. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com and be sure to sign in on the Facebook icon with your login that you use for Facebook regularly, and you will be able to actually chat in the chat room. You are showing up as a guest currently, and so at this time the chat room is a little quiet, but the lines are full, and so we're excited about that. I am aware at this time, let me first apologize, we are having some technical difficulties. Some people have informed me that they're trying to call the number, but it is telling you that the show is not scheduled. However, we are not at our maximum call-in amount on the line, so at this point we apologize for that delay, but if you are listening by way, or you know someone who is listening by way of trying to log in by telephone, we ask that you would please reroute them to www.blogtalkradio.com or forward them the link via email so that they can join the chat room and log in through Blog Talk Radio with their Facebook or their Twitter page. So, again, press 1. We're ready for your questions now. If you have a question at this time, it's a little quiet out here, Kim, but I believe they're sitting on the edge of their seats, and they're really keyed in and tuned into what we're sharing here today about listening for your calls. So we're going to continue to stay out here and monitor Twitter tonight and as well as Facebook Dialogue. I am on live chat at We Speak Radio Network. If you'd like to come on that page, we started a thread there to get your comments and your questions and your perspective on the topics. And we're also on Twitter at We Speak Radio. You can follow us there and keep up with the dialogue as we go, not just tonight, but weekly. So, again, we thank you so much, and we encourage your dialogue, your comments, or just your encouragement for the show. Kim, back over to you.
Thank you very much, Shelley, and we would like to take some time out again to say thank you to all of the listeners on the call. We thank you for all of those that are in the chat room. We enjoy the conversation that we are having tonight. Again, our topic for tonight is listening for your call. The first half hour, what we talked about was, number one, we talked about the characteristics of listening. We talked about having a desire to listen, a commitment to listen, the patience to listen. JR made some very great points during the first half hour about being open to God, to hear what he has to say. One huge topic that we have in this day and time that we have to slow down in our lifestyles to hear what God has to say to us. Those were some very big points that we covered in the first half hour. What does it sound like? We shared some points that it sounds different for everyone. Everyone is going to have a different relationship. It could be your pastor. It could be the Word. It could be a minister at your church. It could be someone in an elevator. It could be a coworker. But again, if you just have the desire, the commitment, and the patience, you will be able to hear the voice of God. So what are we listening for? We are listening for confirmations to our prayers or answers to our prayers. We also talked about how do we exercise the discipline of listening. We exercise that discipline, as we reviewed in the first half hour, by prayer, by study time, by spending some time with God. And a key discovery in that first half hour is it does not matter the amount of time. God will honor whatever amount of time that you have to give to him. So another thing that I learned is I cannot compare myself to my sister and brother that may have more time than me to sit and spend with God, but he will honor the amount of time that I have or I present to him. So now we're ready to start the second half hour of our show. Again, my name is Kimberly Skeen. I'm your host for this evening, and we have J.R. Dunlap on the line. J.R., we're going to just start off a little quickly because we have some people that have joined the last half hour of the show and may have missed your introduction. So if you could again introduce yourself and let us know who you are.
Sure thing. Thanks, Kim. My name is J.R. Dunlap. I'm just completing my studies at Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. I'm a minister down here in Phenix City, Alabama. The church I attend is Auburn Heights Baptist Church. And I'm just joyfully really glad to be a part of this conversation today. Thank you so much, Kim.
Thank you very much, JR. We also have Shelley Caldwell, who is monitoring the social media pages for this conversation tonight. You can go on to Twitter if you would like. It's We Speak Radio on Twitter if you would like to follow the conversation on Twitter. We also have a Facebook page, We Speak Radio Network, if you would like to join the conversation on the Facebook page. And finally, for those callers that have decided to call in and listen to the conversation, if at any time you would like to ask a question or even add to our discussion tonight, please press 1, and then we will pick you up, and we definitely want to hear what you have to say. We all make this conversation better, and we are really out here to just learn and try to get to know God even better. So before we left for our break of the first half hour of the show, I ask or pose the question, does your environment impact your listening abilities? And if so, how and why? So, JR, if you could tell me what your thoughts are about that. Does your environment impact your listening abilities?
Kim, most definitely. I believe your environment or our environment does highly impact our listening abilities. The reality is, in many of our lives, the things that we do on a day-to-day basis, we're all involved in several what I call working relationships at once. And what I mean by that is we are interacting with people on our jobs, we're interacting with our families, we're interacting with people at church, our friends, our enemies, we're interacting with God, different modes of leadership, and we're also dealing with ourselves. And these relationships that we have are all going on simultaneously. It's not that we can stop. Some of us can't stop what we do at work and not bring it home. Some of us work at home. So these things are always going on simultaneously. And when these type of things are happening, I really believe that they're all pulling for our attention in one way or the other. Some people do a good job at what I call this type of organized chaos. And I think I did several years ago. I really believe that I was good at just doing a whole bunch of different things, you know, something I would call a jack of all trades but a master of none. And when I use this word organized chaos, it's that being busy, you know, the phone ringing all the time, not getting enough sleep, always having to go to this place or that place. But as I look back, Kim, and I got to be honest, I was not as effective or productive or spiritual as I could have been. So, Kim, I think I ran around being listening impaired for a long time, but thank God for the change. You know, we can't do everything that we are supposed to do for God if we're constantly busy and He's speaking to us all the time through all these different mediums and through different individuals. And as He's speaking to us, it may not be a bright neon sign, as my wife likes to get sometimes, or used to like to get a lot. It may not speak that way. It may be just that quiet, still voice. And if we're constantly going, we may miss it.
Absolutely, JR. It was a couple things that you really said that I want to kind of pick up on there, the busyness. I did have a friend of mine that tell me once I started seminary and decided to try to do some extracurricular activities within seminary, I posed a question to her about an office that I was asked to take. And she said, well, Kimberly, I'll tell you this, don't take it if you're going to be too busy. You need to do one thing and do that one thing excellent. And that word has stuck with me all year long because I completely understand what you mean by organized chaos, because we get busy doing all of the various things in life, even in church. We do it in church. You want to be on this committee and that committee and this committee, and you're the go-to person, and you end up getting burnt out. And I know in seminary they have taught us a lot about self-care, knowing how to take care of yourself and how to just stop and take some time out, because I do agree that all of that busyness impedes our listening ability. So I really like that term, organized chaos, and I also like how you described it as listening impaired. Some of the reading materials that I gleaned on listening from, it says that to set an environment for listening, you should eliminate distractions and find yourself a quiet place. So that just goes to what you just said. We have to slow down. We have to make, you have to get your mind and body conducive to listening. It also says to make the person you are listening to your priority. Which I really enjoy that comment, because that's telling me if we're talking now on how to hear God better about my calling, I need to make him my priority. I need to take some time out. I know from a husband and wife perspective, I have friends that take time out to do a date night with their spouses and things like that. And I may be going too far because I'm the single person, but maybe a date night or try to spend some specific time. Say, God, I'm going to spend this hour with you. And I know we did say it doesn't take an hour, but just kind of carve that time out of your day and say, this is what I'm going to spend with God. This is the amount of time that I'm going to spend with God and focus on him and eliminate my distractions and do those things. So I completely agree with what you said, that environment does impact our listening ability. And that busyness and life keeps coming up. It came up in the first half hour. So I think that is something that we really probably need to hit very hard. Well, we are hitting it hard because it keeps coming up, that we need to just slow down, maybe even eliminate some of the tasks that we are adding to our day, adding to our lives. And then, you know, we are getting older. Some people are, JR, but I'm not. And so our bodies are going to react to certain things differently, to stress differently. So I do, that is a big deal about us slowing our lifestyles down and taking some time out to listen to God. So we will move on to our next question. Do you think, and I think we kind of answered this question, but you may have some other things that you kind of want to throw in there. Can you multitask and effectively listen, because we are in the day and time of multitasking? So do you think you have the ability to multitask and effectively listen, and how do we allow the worries of this world to distract us? So I guess that's a two-part question. You can start with the multitasking and effectively listening, and then we will go on to how do we allow the worries of this world to distract us? JR, what are your feelings about that?
Well, personally, I really don't believe in multitasking. I know that's one of these buzzwords in the society that we actually live in. And the reason I really don't believe in multitasking is because that means that you're focused on more than one thing at a time, and you're really not putting all of your attention into one thing. And I know from my personal life, that's how things get missed. So let's take it from the perspective of what we're dealing with this topic and dealing with God. If I'm on five committees in my church and I'm expecting God to give me guidance and direction on where I'm supposed to be fitting in on these five committees, I may think that I'm doing a good job, but how effective can I be in exercising the responsibilities and duties that come with that, with those particular jobs? But more especially, am I putting myself into a position where I'm able to actually listen to what God is saying that I'm supposed to be doing? So I just don't understand how the multitasking thing actually will truly fit when it comes to listening to God. And do we allow the worries of this world to distract us? I think we do. I know I do sometimes. And I think it goes back to when we were talking about God honoring the time that you have. There's something to be said there, which ties back into this question about the worries of this world. We have to be real careful and cautious about the things that that we're doing, even the things that we say that we're doing from God or for God. He will honor the time that we have. And so we have to be careful that the time that he has given us, we're being good stewards over it, and that we're not adding things to our plate and then trying to fall back on that statement of God will honor the time that you have. God may have given us 4 hours to really be real productive in the kingdom. But if I'm doing 7 or 8 different things, and now I really, after doing all of those things, Kim, I really only have 1 hour. You know, it's really hard for me to grasp the concept that God is going to be pleased with that, because I'm cutting down the time that he's actually given me to do things that I want to do. And therefore, I'm not listening to what he's actually saying to us. And then those things become burdensome to us. I think that's where one of the biggest problems that we have in Christianity is things that are burdened to us are not things that God has given to us. He said he will not put on anything more on us than we can bear. But how much are we bearing, Kim, that we put on ourselves? And then we have to deal with going to God, asking God to release those burdens off of us. So there's consequences with being worrisome about things of this world.
Absolutely, JR, absolutely. I wrote down again a couple things you touched on. Still again, the good stewards of our time. We have to be good stewards of our time. Just like you had brought up budgets as an example, but just as we budget our money, we should budget our time as well. We need to say this is how much time that we have to do what we need to do. And stick to that plan, because even in corporate America or in the business world, I find myself being distracted by a telephone call, an email popping up, a text popping up, and I feel as if I have to stop right then and there and answer that question or deal with that person. And by the end of the day, I have 5 or 6 open items with nothing finalized, nothing finished, nothing complete, because I've allowed people to steal my time from me. So I know I'm going to use that as a takeaway for myself, starting tomorrow, and actually allocate some time for my day. Begin to carve out time in my day for everything. I'm going to place God in my day. I'm going to be a good steward over my time at work. And everything you can come back to, you know, no email is that important, no phone call is that important, where you have to just stop and do everything right then and there and try to complete the task. So I can see how all that still fits in and relates to me hearing God and listening to God, because, again, the distractions of everything in life, you've got financial distractions, economic distractions, the social distractions, political distractions at this time of the year. So we have a lot of distractions going on where, I mean, of course, and all of them have their place, but we definitely need to stay focused at any one time on one given thing. And I agree with you. I'm so against multitasking because I just really believe it's impossible. And I've come to the conclusion, I just said, no, I'm not. I am not a multitasker. I cannot do it. So we are enjoying those times. So because Shelley is a multitasker, we're going to take it over to Shelley, who is monitoring the chat room. She's monitoring Facebook. She's monitoring Twitter. She's monitoring telephone calls. She's monitoring the chat room. So she does do that. JR, obviously, we're just the only two that do not. So I'm going to take it on over to Shelley and see what's going on over there. Shelley, can you tell us what's going on in our social media room?
Thank you so much, Kim, and I will tell you what, other than your lines filling up and blowing out the water, I tell you, the people have, I believe, so much to listen for and to take with them after this call. again, we want to encourage them. They're a little quiet tonight, but I have never seen such a great response on the phone lines, again, with this being your second show. So the social media platform is quiet this evening. It's okay. And again, we want to encourage you, as always, throughout the show, when we're going into our last 15 minutes, it appears here. And we want you to, again, if you just want to share some encouragement comments, an example of your own, your very own story or testimony, you know, where you have actually been in a position to where you've been challenged with listening to God's voice or listening for God's voice in your life, we want you to press one on your dial pad and share with us. And we will bring you on live, on air to, of course, speak with Kim and our co-host, JR. And again, we're excited about just the wealth of information and the knowledge that JR is bringing to the show tonight. So we're excited about that. And, of course, in place of the multitasking, we are taking time to find some resources for you here on social media, again, and using technology. We want to encourage you to always go out on Amazon.com or whatever your preferred book website is, and always type in the topic of our shows, and I'll guarantee you that you will find some book on the topics that we are covering. And again, tonight I did do that while we were here monitoring Twitter and as well as Facebook and the chat room, and in Amazon.com, just by very simply typing in listening for the voice of God or listening to God, there were tons of resources that came up. So we always want to empower the people with knowledge. Now, the question is, after you get that knowledge, what do you do with it? So you want to read and apply that which you read. And, of course, always resort back to your Bible to hear what the scriptures have to say. And, JR, you've given some great points there as well with the relational part of listening to God and getting to know God for yourself so that you can indeed hear his voice. So we always want to encourage our listeners to be empowered by reading, empower yourself by various types of resources that are out there. And again, we want to make sure that anything else that you do, you when you get your wisdom, that you make sure you get understanding, and in doing so that you're able to speak intelligently to any topic. But of course, knowing when you hear from God, that what you've heard is God's voice and you're sure about it and you're able to move on to the next step. So, Kim, as I said, again, it's a little quiet out here on social media tonight, but the lines are full, so we encourage each and every one of you, again, to join us as we move into the second half of the show. We want you to keep up with us. Follow us on Facebook at We Speak Radio Network and on Twitter. You can follow the dialogue at any time, even after the show. If you'd like to add some comments, we are at We Speak Radio. And, again, thank you all so much for listening. And, Kim, yes, I am a multitasker. And I get about 5 hours of sleep, JR.
I get about seven now.
I don't know what seven looks like, but God does in all that I do, especially when you have children, whether your children are in the house or out of the house, and when you have a spouse, whether that spouse has a demanding job, you find that silencing yourself and making sure that they're involved, that they are involved in knowing that you're having a need for quiet time, it makes you a better person when you involve your family that are also demanding your time. So, yes, I get up about 3 a.m. no matter what time I go to sleep, and God likes to tap on my shoulder and say, Shelly, okay, come on now. You got time for me? And at 3 a.m. is when I'm most sleepiest. So he does wait until you're quiet. I think he sits patiently and he awaits. So good. I'm a bad budgeter of my time, JR. Thank you for calling me out. Back over to you, Kim. We do have a call. Here we are. We do have someone who's pressed one real quickly, and we're going to turn it back over for the last 10 minutes. Caller from the 336 area code, the last 4 digits of your number is 8862. You're live and you're on the air tonight with Kim and JR.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hello,
hey, Kelly.
How are you?
Good.
You have comments you'd like to share?
You know that y'all are on my subject now, talking about multitasking and hearing from God effectively. I just know that when you made that last comment, it was right on time for me to press one. Having a house of 2 children and a spouse, knowing that I have to slot my time in whenever I can with God, I believe that God deals with his children in the way that he knows is best. I can cook. Everybody can have on their TV. And God will give me the answer to some of the things I have put before him while I'm cooking. And it'll be just as loud and clear as I'm talking to you on this phone today. Now, the effectiveness is, will he have to tell me again because I didn't write it down? And the answer to that is yes, he is going to have to tell me again. But I can go back and know for sure that if anybody asks me, what were you doing when you heard that, or who told you that, I know for sure that that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me, because that's how God deals with me. I often say, God knows how to deal with his foolish children. We will run ourselves in the hole till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. We'll look up, haven't touched the Bible, haven't said our Father, and yet he will still do what he does best, and that is speaking his still small voice over all of our business to get his word through. And we have to remember that multitasking is a 21st century lingo, but God's lingo overtakes all. He can say what he needs to say. If it's an issue on your heart, if it is an opportunity that you have to know what to do, when to do, he knows how to speak loud and clear over all of your mess and get that answer to you. And you will think you were multitasking, and God was just saying, no, I just stopped the clock for a few seconds to get my word into your spirit. Mm. And then at the end of the day, you realize that, hey, oh, yeah, I was so busy, but I know I heard that.
Good comment.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kelly, that's absolutely right. And, Kim, while I was here on social media, I found an article that said absolutely that. It spoke specifically to journaling. It spoke specifically to journaling as one of the ways to hear from God. So, yes, I did see that here on an article from a particular ministry here that actually took time to write on some keys from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and verse, let's see, what else is that? It's actually the entire chapter of Habakkuk 2, and it gives us four keys. And one of those keys was not only silencing yourself, but also journaling to hear God. So we've got another caller on the line. We've got a few minutes left in the show. Kim, let me get that caller. We definitely appreciate them. Thank you so much, Kelly, calling in from North Carolina. And, again, we're calling, looks like we have a caller from 502 area code. The last four digits of your number is 0164. We have about 3 minutes. If you could please briefly give a comment and share your perspective or one of your stories concerning listening for the call.
Well, I just wanted to share on today. I just really have been trying to continue just to live a Christian life and really just examine what I do daily. So today at work I was getting ready to park, and this guy kind of like almost cut me off and looked at me and hit his brake and looked at me, and I was so upset. But I was determined that I was going to have a good day today. So I was like, you know what? I was like, in my head, I kept saying, I'm going to say this to him, and I'm going to ask him, why was he driving crazy in the parking lot? And then I just said, you know what? I'm not even going to worry about it. And when I came in, my supervisor was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm okay. But I had to go down to where he worked at, and I popped my head in the office. I was like, are you all right? I said, you were driving kind of, you know, like you had road rage in the parking lot. And so when I asked him that, I just instantly heard the Holy Spirit say, ask him how he's doing. And when I asked him that question, he began to tell me, you know, that he was having issues with his son who's in college, and, you know, just how the parking lot where we work at is always full. And I was just really so glad that I was sensitive to the Spirit to hear, or I would have been another person adding to the already stress and not so good day that he was having on today. And by the time I left his office, he was smiling. So I just wanted to share that when you listen to the voice of God, it will never lead you wrong. And I was sharing with my family as we prayed this morning that we were going to be blessed. And I just want to say that I was so blessed today to know that I didn't have to react to my flesh of how my feelings were hurt from what he did today. But by listening to the voice of God, I was able to see really what was going on and not be another person that just kind of didn't listen to the voice of God and would have had a bad day because he could have possibly gone off on me and gone back and forth. And that's all I want to share.
Thank you so much for your comment. We're going to turn it back over to Kim. I think that's an excellent point that the caller made, and it's certainly something, as Kelly was saying, she reiterated to say that God can speak to you right at the moment. Spontaneously, he will speak. He will override your emotions, what you're going through, what you're doing currently, and he will get through to you if you are indeed tuned in and know the Holy Spirit. So thank you all so much for your comments. Kim, back over to you to close out the show, and take care.
Thank you very much, Shelley. And thank both of our callers for adding to our conversation. That just makes everything a lot more richer. So we really appreciate you taking the time out to share with us. And, JR, I want you to have some type of closing words. We have about 3 minutes left. So if you want to go ahead and give us your final words, we would love to hear them.
Sure thing. One of the things that I was thinking about as we went over to Shelley and was just waiting for callers to come in. And I thought about that, and I said, you know, it's okay that we did not have a lot of callers to actually want to make comments, because what that showed us was this show was doing exactly what it was supposed to do. People were listening.
Absolutely.
And I think that's how we have to be with God. It's not always about us having to be able to communicate something to him. How about we just take the time to just sit back and let God just speak to us? How about maybe in our prayer time we just sit back in silence and just wait for him to speak to us? So I think that was a very good thing that we didn't have a lot of people that was actually commenting through our chat room and our social media network, because to me I believe that they were actually listening. And my prayer is that as they were listening, that God was actually speaking something to them. About what they should be doing or what they could be doing better, because it's all about making sure that we do what we need to do for the kingdom. And last thing I would say, Kim, is we just want to remember that we're talking about God here. We're talking about our Father, and he is the ultimate one who decides how he's going to communicate to us. So it's good to know that God is going to talk to us, he's going to reply to us, he's going to answer us in all these different ways. But I think it's even more important that we're positioned or that we're tuned into God, where we are spiritually sensitive to his voice, like our caller just said. So when he speaks to us, Kim, we're listening. Amen.
Amen. JR, thank you very much. Again, I completely agree with what you said, because that was what dropped into my spirit as well. The people are listening. So I thank God for each and every one of the callers, for everyone that participated in the chat rooms and all the social media forums, just the fact that you took time out to spend with us. I thank JR and Shelley for participating in this conversation with me. I challenge everyone today to go out and hear God's word for yourself. I thank you. I honor you guys for taking the time out again to take this leap of faith with us as we go into different areas of the world. I will see you guys another time, and if you'd like to hear another show, these are always on archive. You can go back and listen to the show as many times as you'd like. If you want to hear another topic, hit us up on Facebook or Twitter and let us know, and we'll definitely be glad to come back and have another conversation with our family. So, with the holidays upon us, you guys have a very happy Thanksgiving. We love you. Take care, and may God bless.